Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. And with, you know, singing He's Our God, it's one of the best things you could do for us. You know, our whole family loved the song. You know, we love the meaning of the song, and it's just a blessing. And you don't know how good you sound. You know, you sound like a large choir, you know, so it just feels good to, you know, to start it that way. We are the Chaitan family. And we are originally, well, my wife and I, we originated from a little country called Grenada. Anybody ever heard of Grenada? All right. Anybody been to Grenada? All right. That's our family right there. Yes, we are from that little island called Grenada, and we live in Canada. Well, we're supposed to be living in Canada, but we are never in Canada. You know, we are in full-time ministry, so this is what we do. We travel around. About 4 years ago, well, we started in ministry about 9 years ago, and in you know, traveling ministry, and you know, God has been good. He's always good, but He has orchestrated things that our family, you know, would go into full-time ministry. So we accepted the call and went into full-time ministry, and it's been about 4 years now since we've been in full-time ministry. So what do? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we are in ministry. So anywhere the Lord calls us, anywhere He directs us, that's where we go. Yes, we drive everywhere that we can, except when we go to Grenada and other places. We sleep on the road, we eat on the road, we do school on the road. This is all we do. And, you know, God has been extremely good in directing us in places where we meet some of the greatest people in the world. And this is one of the places right here. You know, we are here today. We do I guess you would know about the We Care program in Alabama, the Prison Crusade. We participate in Alabama. We participate in the Gospel Express in South Carolina. And in December, we'll be doing the Florida prison also. So we are in full-time, you know, doing prison ministry. Our family has been on the streets of Brooklyn, New York, where we feed the homeless. We, you know, we work with the people there. Actually, God has allowed even, you know, our children to receive a congressional award for work done on the streets of Brooklyn, New York. So just know that this is what we do. We try to reach God's people everywhere. And it doesn't matter if it's one guy lying on the streets, in the drains, he's still our brother, and he's still God's child, and God is expecting us to reach him. So, you know, we try to do that. So, you know, we request that you pray for us, because, you know, the enemy is not happy when, you know, we are trying to reach the unreached for Christ. So pray for us as we pray for you, and we thank you for having us. Brother Dale, we just appreciate you, you know, accepting the call from Brother Dan to have us here this morning. We pray as we minister this morning, that you'll be blessed. Now, I'll introduce our children, and I'll just do a little piece more of introduction, and then we'll go into to the program. First of all, right over here, this is my wife, Karen, and she's the mother of all the children that you see. Karen keeps things in check. She's the, you know, she's the police. She makes sure that everybody's on their P's and Q's. Even if you are on your P's and Q's, you still have to be on capital P, capital Q, you know? Right on. This is our first daughter, Kezia. And Kezia is 19 years old.
Sorry, I know what he's going to say.
I'm going to say she's a good child.
No.
Yes, she's still single. That's what she thought I was going to say. And Kezia wants to be a missionary teacher. And this is Keandra, and she's 18. I can't say anything about Kendra. She'll be annoyed that I tell her she's single, but Jesse is 16. Jaden is 13. And this is our first four children. And this is our last three children right here. That's Kalena. And she's 10. Now, just a little word of encouragement through the introduction. You know, driving here, let's suppose we saw an accident on the road. And I can come here with all the eloquence and tell you about the accident. I could describe the cars involved, the make, the model, the color, the drivers, you know, and you know, all the, you know, the activities that led up to the accident since I saw it. You know, I can explain in detail how the cars swerved and how they got hit by the other one. And, you know, you can get a really good picture as to what happened. My question to you is, can any of you go to court and be a witness? If I explain everything in detail, can any of you go to court and be a witness?
No.
Why not? You did not see it happen. So you must see to be a witness. You must experience to be a witness. Well, in our Christian walk, sometimes our pastors and our leaders and our worship leaders may come with the best eloquence possible and explain to us about Jesus and what he has done for us. And we might understand it so good to the point where we think we can go out and be a witness. But this morning I want to encourage us. We need to meet Jesus ourselves and experience him ourselves before we can try to be a witness. It's not in our best interest to always just sit on and listen to the pastor. We need to research Jesus ourselves and get that personal relationship with him. Let's lead our children to Jesus so that they too can be a true witness. So when they stand, they can say what I have experienced, or what I have seen, what I know. And it's not what the pastor said, or not what my daddy said, or not what the preacher said. It's only what Jesus said. Amen? So may we be encouraged this morning to be able to meet Jesus face to face. It doesn't matter what age you are. I want to encourage you to meet Jesus yourself. Thank you very much for having us.
When you're all caught up in the dark of the night, torn between what's wrong and right, he is there, he is there, he is there. And when the burdens of life are pressing you down, you see no way out and no way around. Already there, he's waiting to hold you with his arms open wide. He is there,
he is there,
he is there, he is there, he is there. Oh, wherever I wander, I know he is there. Of tomorrow holds you captive today, and the words don't come easy when you kneel and pray. He is there,
he is there,
he is there. And when it seems like the sun
won't shine again. He has promised a rainbow at the end of your pain. He is there. He is there. Walk in the footprints He's already made for you and for me and for everyone. Oh, 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 oh. He goes before us everywhere. Oh, trust Him and follow. He's already there. He's waiting to hold you with His arms open. Yeah, whatever I want. His face I at last shall see. To be my joy through the ages, to sing of His love for me.
Oh,
children singing Not Afraid to Trust Him. They have no bills to pay. They have no mortgage. You know, they have no spouses. What do they know about trusting God? You know, they seem, you know, what was the information I gave before about learning to know God yourself. Can I just share a testimony with you?
Yes.
We are traveling from Toronto to New York, and we had a fairly new vehicle, but our transmission started overheating. And we would stop, wait for 20 minutes, and we're gone again. And about 3-4 times it happened. But when we got on the 380, just around the Moscow exit going towards New York, it overheated again. We stopped, waited for an hour, for this team, 20 minutes, nothing happened. An hour, nothing happened. 2 hours, nothing happened. 3 hours, we waited on the side of the road, thinking, okay, it might just, you know, sort itself out. Nothing happened. Put it in gear, as if someone stole our transmission. There was nothing there. It would not even bounce. We prayed, we did everything. But if we had to tow it from where it was to a garage, it would cost a pretty sum. And get it fixed, it will cost even a bigger pretty sum. And then warranty, since we live in Canada, if anything goes wrong, we have to ship it to the U.S. to get it fixed or drive the vehicle down, which doesn't make sense. Transmission not working. So while we sat on the side of the road, I remembered one of my members from my church in British Columbia. I would save visiting her for last on my rounds of daily of visitation. You know why? Because when I would visit her, she would pray for me. And she would pray for my family. So instead of I encouraging her, she would encourage me. I saved her for last. Is that selfish? No, that's not selfish. I just love to visit her last because I leave there, you know, feeling enthused, encouraged. Anyhow, you want to hear how she prayed for me? Lord, bless the pastor. And bless his family. And she would call everybody by name. And then she started on my car. Bless the car. And bless the windshield. Bless the wipers. Bless the radiator. Bless the alternator. Bless the spare tire. The muffler. She called everything's name. When I was finished there, I felt I could just drive the car right across the river, right home safely, no problem. I felt great going home that, you know, God is totally in control of my car. I remember that prayer. So I told my family, you wait here. Popped the hood, went out. Took my hand. Pushed it right through the engine compartment. Right down to the transmission. I said, God, you created man. Man is a lot more complicated than this car. And it's only a Ford. It's not even a Mercedes. I know you could fix it. Sorry, Ford owners. I had a Ford myself. I said, I know you could fix that. I said, God, I want you to fix this car, not just to get to New York. We need to get to New York. We need to do all that we need to do and get back home to Canada. But I'm not asking you this favor for myself. I got 5 children sitting inside this car that need to know that the God that their father serve is a God that hears and answer prayer. And I need you to reveal yourself to my children today. Thank you. Amen. I closed the hood down and I went inside. And you know, sometimes we as parents, we don't model what we teach. You know what I'm talking about? So then we tell our children, you need to live by faith, but we don't model faith before our children. You know, we pray, but we still worry. And once we worry, we diminish the power of God. Am I correct? Because you're telling God, well, I gave you the problem, but I don't really think you could handle it. Let me see if I could figure out something myself. That's what worry's about. But I wanted my children to know that I've prayed, and we are living here right now. We spent 3 hours on the side where 30 seconds ago the car couldn't move. There was no transmission. But we are moving now. I said, everybody, put on your seatbelts because we're living right now. So I turned on the car. Those of the young guys listening. I put my left foot on the brake, my right foot on the throttle, jerk it into gear. It took off like a jet plane. It laid rubber all along the side of the highway, down the road. What am I trying to say here? When we pray, we need to believe that the God that we pray to is a God that hears and answers prayers. And we need to ensure that our children know, that our children know that it's not through our own power. We did not send them to school. We did not pay for everything that they have. It's God that provided everything. Amen? And we need to model that before our children all the time, that we serve a God that hears and answers prayers. So when I say that we need to see Jesus ourselves before we start to be a witness, I want you to know that when my children sing that they're not afraid to trust Him, that's the reason why. They know that in all our daily moving about, the food that we eat, we don't know where our next meal is going to come from. Yeah, we know for today. We know that Dan cooked for us today, so we know where that meal is coming from. But the next one, we're not sure about it. But one thing we know, that the God that we serve is a God that hears and answers prayer. It's a God that you can trust. So when they sing, "I'm not afraid to trust Him," they're not saying what they heard a preacher say. They're not saying what their daddy said. They know they serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Can I challenge us this morning as parents to model before our children the kind of faith in God, so we are raising a generation of believers. They can believe in the God that we serve. He's not the lawyer. He's not the teacher. He's not the pastor. He's not the counselor. It's always God. Amen? Amen. We can trust Him. As they sing the next song, "Grace Will Always Be Greater Than Sin," know that that God, that same God that provides, He also provides grace. So no matter where we've been or what we've done, He will always forgive our sin, because grace will always be greater than sin.
Be great. Song that we are going to sing. Sorry? Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, you feel like there's, like people tell you that you'll never amount to anything, or you feel like you're never good at anything, and if you feel so alone. But this song simply says that no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on today, that if it's one thing you can be sure of, is that Jesus loves you. When you feel forgotten, when you feel you're all alone, and when you feel like giving up, discouraged and everything's uncertain, and when you feel you're just not good enough, and when it's slipping through your hands but you've done all you can, and there's still so much more to do, it's easy to forget in times like this, that Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, and He cares about everything you're going through. Your name is engraved on the palm of His hand.
This next song, it's a simple hymn probably everybody knows. Hope that you'll sing along with us. It's My Jesus, I Love Thee.
If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. We hope that this will be the prayer of everyone in here this morning. You know, Jesus loves us so much, and he's willing to give or do anything. He's willing to pursue us to the ends of the earth to ensure that no one is lost, that we all will be saved. Isn't God a good God? Great God. So we thank you for having us here this morning. Brother Dale said that we're collecting our offering for the family. Let me just share with you what the project is. Those of you who know Brother Dan Pollard, you know Brother Daniel Pollard? Yeah. Every year he takes a team to Africa, to Kenya. And we will be going with him this year to Kenya. And we'll be working along with Brother Dan and the team. And we'll be working and doing some project for some orphanages. Then we'll be doing the feeding of the homeless. Our family is planning to feed about 500 families. Amen? And we'll be working with the schools. We'll be working with two schools. But our family has a special project of going to the prisons. They have not been to the prisons there yet. But we love prison ministry. If it wasn't, you know, for the grace of God, you know, I could have been there too, you know. So we love to work with our brothers and sisters in the prison. So we'll be going to the prisons there also and doing some projects there. So this is why we are soliciting the funds. So just so you know what the funds are for. So, you know, we thank you for having us this morning. We thank you for allowing us to share these moments with you. We're going to sing one more song. And we know everybody knows that song, so you can join and sing it along with us. And again, we thank God that, you know, you are able to allow us to share this time with you, you know. Please pray for us as we continue to minister, and we'll pray for you. And we pray that God will bless us. And if we never meet this side again, we're looking forward to meet you on the other side. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
saints and